Here to make a ministry in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we just thank the Lord for his mercy and grace, and we want to pray for some people tonight. I heard today, and some folks might know this brother and some would know him. There's a pastor in America, Tim Pruitt. He's lost his wife, and we know she's went on to be with the Lord, and we want to pray for the Pruitt family at this time, that the Lord would bless them and comfort them. And any other needs as well. We heard of the loss of a young man just recently, 20 years old. We want to pray for the family as well, that the Lord will comfort and bless them. Praise God. Let us turn to the Word of God tonight. I do greet you all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the brethren down in Bellarmine, Belfast, and those up here and across wherever you're watching in. If you're watching from another land or at a later date, may the Lord bless you. And our whole purpose and objective is that Christ would be glorified, that people might be reached with the fullness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not here to be seen or to glorify any man but the man Christ Jesus. And we pray that God will bless you from the Word of God tonight. Let us read First Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 23 down to verse 30. So it's First Corinthians chapter 1 verse 23 down to verse 30. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men, after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, have God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. And this verse 30 will be my key verse this evening. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And became wisdom means is made, which means has become. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer this evening. Father, we thank you and praise you that we can bow before you and come from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb. Father, we have nothing of our own righteousness we can offer, but we thank you for the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ to us word who were lost. We bless you, Lord, that the way has been made, that the blood has been shed, and there is a new and living way into the very courtrooms of heaven, an open way that whosoever will may come. Father, we appreciate you this evening. We thank you for the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. We bless him and we praise him this evening. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in Jesus Christ's name. And I thank you, Lord, that you do undertake for me. I pray for Brother Tim Pruitt, for all the family circle, for all the church, for all the brethren over in America tonight, that thou would bless and comfort and strengthen them all in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask for any others that need your touch this evening, Lord, that thou would touch them and bless them and strengthen them in the name of the Lord. Speak to us for a moment from your word, and we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. I believe it's good that we should take time in the middle of our busy lives or middle of our busy week to just come aside for a while to hear the word of God. And I want to speak tonight about the great inheritance. Jesus Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That's what the word of God tells us here in verse 30 of 1 Corinthians 1. Man's great need in this scripture is implied if wisdom and righteousness must be made over to us by God through Jesus Christ. In other words, we cannot obtain wisdom and righteousness of our own making, of our own selves, but it can only come to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is clear that being without Christ, there's a lot of things that we are without. When you're without Christ, the Bible says you're unwise, foolish and ignorant with regard to the things of God, reckoning the preaching of the crucified Lord, foolishness. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But we know that unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. Also, the thing which we need when we haven't got Christ, what is also clear, and the thing we need righteousness, but we are unrighteous. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ, but without Jesus Christ, we are unrighteous. In its deepest and fullest sense, righteousness can only come through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Romans 10:4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believes." I don't really want to go too much into the book of Romans tonight, but in Romans, let me just take Romans for a moment. Let us go back to Romans chapter 4. I just feel led maybe to briefly go over this, and I preached a lot from this phrase and statement that I find in Romans chapter 4. Now, Romans chapter 4, verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth, and him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." Now, look at verse 6. "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." So here we see the imputation of the righteousness of God. The word imputed means to be freely given, and God freely gives us his righteousness. He imparts to us his righteousness when we receive and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 7 saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and his sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." And to impute something means it's held against you, it's given to you, so the Lord will not hold your sin against you. But the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. And God replaces your sin with an impartation of his righteousness. He imputes to you and me his righteousness. This is part of the great inheritance of the true believer, that the righteousness of God is imputed to you. So you're not working on your own righteousness. You have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our own righteousness is no good. The Bible says, "Where there's none righteous, no, not one." But Jesus Christ was righteous, holy, and blameless. And his righteousness is freely imparted to us. No price has to be paid on our part, because God paid the price. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten," that means his unique son, one of a kind, "to die on the cross for you and for me." Also, we see that without this, what we have need of, and only the righteousness can bring it, we're unholy without his righteousness. Natural goodness is not holiness. People can be good naturally, that is not holiness. Honesty or truthfulness and character will not alone fit us for fellowship with God. Those things alone will not fit us for fellowship with God. Luke 18, verse 9 to 14, let's read it. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as a publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes to all I possess.' And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Many people want to put themselves in the position of others, and they judge other people, and they think they can do a better job maybe than some other people. But the question is this: has God called them to do it? William Branham preached a great message called Doing God a Service Without It Being the Will of God. And you can do God a service without it being the will of God. And if God has called a man or woman to do a certain job, no one else can take their place. And I absolutely believe in a fivefold ministry, that every ministry is specific, and the one cannot take the place of the other. Some of them might want to or think they can, but it's not scriptural. Not many mighty are chosen, but God takes the foolish things in this world, the things that are not, and that's what the Lord will use. You see, we're unable to save ourselves. We need Christ. We cannot save ourselves. Christ must be made to us redemption in the first text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Christ must be made to us redemption. The price must be paid outside of ourselves. So it's not what we do, but it's what he has already done for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're not made the righteousness of God in the church or in ourselves, but it is through the Lord Jesus Christ, his provision, that has made us righteous. God's great provision is revealed. Christ Jesus, made of God unto us, Christ Jesus, in whom dwelleth all the fullness of God, made to us. He's come down to our level so that we can be partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. We can be Christ-like, because when we're born again of a spirit, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, as it were, born again, new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now look at this, wisdom. The wisdom. Earthly wisdom's no good. Man's wisdom's no good. Man might think he's wisdom, but you couldn't go on some man's wisdom. But we need the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. Christ is the wisdom of God. As he would have that wisdom made known to us, 1 Corinthians 1:24, but unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. All the depths and the riches of the wisdom of God. We need the wisdom of God. Our own wisdom, our own ideas, well, they won't work, they won't do. You can have an idea how to do something and it won't work. But God's wisdom is needed. And it surprises me how many people lack wisdom, ministers and all, and all of us perhaps are guilty, and I'm putting myself in there as well, on how we need to pray for the wisdom of God. You know, when the great man of God went to Scotland, you know, of the revival in Scotland, and his name's gone from me, but the great man in Scotland that God used, and he saw revival in Scotland, and he went to two old women, and they asked him to come and conduct. Duncan Campbell was his name, it came to me. Duncan Campbell, when he went to visit these two women, and they invited him to come and hold meetings, and he told them he couldn't do it. So before he left them, they asked him, could we pray? And they prayed, and they said, Lord, give your servant wisdom, for he badly needs it. That's what they prayed. And because of their prayers and their persistence and what God had showed them, Duncan Campbell agreed to come and do the meetings, which he firstly wasn't going to do, but because them women prayed like that in boldness, he agreed to do it, and he came. And if you read the history, what happened in Scotland, how there was a mighty revival, a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God, and many people were converted under the power of God in Scotland. Now that was because them two women had wisdom. And Duncan Campbell, even though he was a minister and all, lacked the wisdom, but they prayed, and I believe God answered them and gave a servant wisdom. Also, the thing which we need, which we lack of ourselves, is righteousness. Made wise and righteousness by the imputation of our guilt and sin to Christ. So our guilt and our sin is put on Christ so that we... shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. So it is in the Lord that I have righteousness, and in the Lord that I have strength. Somebody might try to overcome you. Somebody might try to overcome me, and they will. Now on our own, we're nothing. But then don't forget what the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And remember this here, what it said in the book of Acts, if this work is of man, it will come to naught, but it's of, if it is of God, don't come against it and don't try to touch it. I'm surprised at how many people come against God's servants and the work of God after years, when God vindicates and God proves and proves, and yet of all, they still come against it. And remember what the Word of God says, touch not the Lord's anointed, nor do his servants nor his prophets no harm. That's the Word of God, what it says. We need the Lord's righteousness, and we certainly need the Lord's strength. Praise God. There's another thing here which we can only get through the Lord, that's sanctification. We of ourselves, we can try to live a sanctified life. We can try to turn over a new leaf, but that won't happen. We need the strength and the Spirit of God to help us to live a sanctified life. Not only justified from all things, but regenerated in nature, born again, and delivered from the bondage and power of sin. That's what we need. So many people come and they make a decision, but they never really get born again. There's no change. There's no transformation. But when a person is really born again in the Spirit of God, there's a change. There's a transformation. The Bible says they're new creatures in Christ Jesus. And behold, all things become new. Redemption. The final redemption of the body. All these are the benefits of this great inheritance that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have salvation, we have the Spirit of God, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, sanctification, all the wonderful blessings, and we have redemption, the final redemption of the body. Whom he justified, them he also glorifies. Romans 8, verse 30. Deliverance from the presence of sin. So we are saved now. We're saved. We're sinners saved by grace. But we are going to be delivered from the presence of sin. Because the Lord is going to take us from this earth, from this scene of time. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend, come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. The trumpet of God will sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be thrust up, caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. How this great change is affected. The Bible tells us how this great change is affected. Let's just take a note of it for a moment. That Christ and his blessings are inseparable and cannot make us wise and righteous. And apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot be wise. We cannot be righteous apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It is God who justifies. Romans 3:33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? And some people will condemn you. But the Bible says, who is he that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. And remember, there's no condemnation. Romans 8:1. To them that are in Christ Jesus. That means judgment. There's no judgment to them that are in Christ Jesus. Because Jesus Christ has been judged for us. We've accepted him. He has took our place. If you're not saved, you're going to be judged. But when you're saved, you have accepted the judgment that God placed on Jesus for you. The price has been paid. But you have to believe it and accept it. His work is perfect. And he blesses us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So God did not choose you or me the night we put our hand up at a service or wherever we were at. But God knew you, he knew me, he chose you, he chose me. Ever before we were even born, he knew us. Before the foundation of the world, we were chosen in him, ordained in him. Now you have to make a choice. I'm not saying you don't have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. And I can't go out and say he's predestined. He's not. That's God's work. I'm not God. We must preach the gospel to whosoever, and whosoever will can come. Praise God. Also, I want you to see something else about this inheritance. That these blessings are made over to those who are in Christ Jesus. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom. You're complete in him. His workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Look at Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So God wants us to have works, good works. Now do you think good works is to condemn your brother or your sister? I don't think they are. Which God had before ordained that ye should walk in them. God wants us to walk in good works. If you can do good to somebody and do it not, the Bible says it's sin. It's good to do good. But if you're not saved and doing good, that's all right. But it won't fit you for heaven. But those of us that are believing, we should do good. It's part of our Christian duty and belief, according to this Bible. Here's another thing also. That these God-given blessings through Christ, and remember it's all through Christ, are within the reach of all who believe. So all these blessings, this great inheritance, is within the reach of every single man, every single woman, every single boy, every single girl that will believe. These blessings are within your reach. They're within your reach. Salvation's within your reach. The baptism of the Holy Spirit within your reach. Healing of your bodies within your reach. Sanctification within your reach. All of these blessings are within your reach. Because Jesus Christ has provided them. John 1:12. As many as received him, to them give him power to become the sons of God. He gives you the privilege of sonship. Even to them that believe in his name. Hallelujah. If you believed in his name. And remember the Bible says there's no other name. No other name given under heaven. Whereby man must be saved. It doesn't say might or will. Must be saved, other than the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only name you can be saved by, is the name of Jesus Christ. That is God's provided way for this day, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is that God's provided way, but that is actually God's chosen place of worship where he's put his name. And he put his name in Jesus Christ. Jesus came in the Father's name. Hallelujah. And that's where we're to meet. For two or three are gathered in my name. There am I in the midst of that to bless them. Praise God. But as many as received him, seeing that these benefits are given to us of God and the ground of Christ's sin-bearing work through faith alone, in Christ alone, are we saved. There's no additives. God needs nothing to help him do it. The price has been paid, for by grace through faith you're saved. All you have to do is don't try to believe, just believe. Did you hear that? Don't try to believe, just believe. Hallelujah. Whereas works excluded by the law, by grace, saved by grace alone, Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. So you're saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's the great inheritance. Salvation is the most important thing. I believe strongly in healing of the body, certainly in all them things I preach it. But salvation is the one most important thing. If you're not saved, you're not fit to meet God. You need to be saved. You need to get right with God. Come into this inheritance tonight. You can come in. Don't try to believe. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Bow your heads with me this evening. And you know, I don't know who everyone's listening in and where the word of God will go. But, you know, I get a lot of criticism for many things, but you know, people fail to realize I'm trying to reach out to those that's lost with the gospel. And you know, if you're criticizing a man that's trying to reach out with the gospel, I don't think that's a good thing. And you know, why don't we have the Spirit of Christ and lift up one another and pray for one another and have a goal, a joint goal. The disciples in the upper room came together in one accord. And the Bible says where there's unity, God commands the blessing. Now surely, as Christians, we should be fit to have unity that we want to see our loved ones saved. That's the most important thing, that we can have unity to see our loved ones saved. And the Lord Jesus Christ can save. Bow your heads with me this evening. Father, we thank you for the precious word of promise tonight. Lord, I pray for each and every one that's listening in tonight. Bless them, strengthen them. I pray for my brothers, my sisters, whatever they're going through tonight, may you strengthen them. May you bless them. May you heal them and touch them and fill them with your Spirit. Lord, I ask you if there's any tonight watching in that's not saved, that don't know you as their Savior, help them to believe and get saved by the grace of God. Father, bless all the families bereaved, those here in Northern Ireland that's lost a young man, and our brother Tim Pruitt and his family over in America, and any others tonight suffering. We pray for thy comfort. We ask also you'll bless the children of Israel, thy own people. And Lord, for those in government in this land, give them wisdom, for they greatly need it. Give every one of us wisdom. We all need it. As we submit our lives afresh to you and acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one this evening. We're going to just have... Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful Savior. In Jesus, my Lord, I have found. Praise God. Brother Gary and Sister Ruth. Don't forget, Sunday morning, our drive-in service live at Bella Cross. 11 a.m. Brother Mark Anderson will be bringing the Word of God this Sunday. Our tongues employ. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at his feet, King of kings in heaven will crown him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take that name with you tonight, and if you're free for Sunday morning, or come along to our drive-in service at 11 a.m. Bella Cross, our Brother Mark Anderson will be bringing the Word of God. God bless you all, and I'll be back live again, the Lord willing, or He is willing, at 4:30 Sunday evening, 4:30 p.m. God bless you all.